That's good. Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Record will indicate that all the jurors are present. Counsel parties present. You ready to call your next witness?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Steve Barnard.
Very well.
Would you please state your full name and spell your last name for the record?
Stephen Mark Barnard, B-A-R-N-A-R-D.
Thank you.
Morning, Dr. Barnard. Who is your present employer?
Illumina.
And how long have you been employed at Illumina?
Just about 4 years now.
You recall the approximate date that your employment began?
It was in August of, April 98, I believe.
April of 1998?
Yes.
What is your present position with Illumina?
Director of Array Chemistry.
Was that your first position when you joined the company in April of 1998?
When I signed my contract, it was senior scientist position.
And who did you first report to? Who was your boss when you first took over, when you first became employed at Illumina?
Dr. Zarnik.
You reported directly to Dr. Zarnik?
Yes.
How long did you hold the position of senior scientist?
It was probably for a year and a half to 2 years.
And what was your next position?
Associate director.
Who was your immediate supervisor when you became...
It was still Dr. Zarnik.
What was Dr. Zarnik's position during the time that he was your supervisor?
He was the CSO of the company and VP of chemistry.
Now, did you report directly to Dr. Zarnik from the time you joined Illumina in approximately April of 1998 up until the time that Dr. Zarnik became a research fellow in March of 2000?
That's correct.
And after that, when Dr. Zarnik became a research fellow, who did you report to?
I reported to the new CSO, David Barker.
So I take it you worked together for a time with Dr. Zarnik at the Cardiff location?
Yes, we did.
And at Cardiff, did you have your own office?
No, there were no private offices. The only person who had a private office is John Stultnagel, because he was a member of the CW group.
So where was your office, or where was your desk at Cardiff?
There was a common, essentially a meeting room that we used as an office.
I take it you were there for only a short period of time, a couple of months.
Yes.
And then you went over to the Town Center location, Town Center Drive?
That's correct.
And are you familiar with the room at that location called the Big Room?
Absolutely.
And was your office or desk located in the Big Room?
Absolutely. It had two windows.
How big was the Big Room?
Probably twice the size of this room here.
And approximately how many people warehoused in the room?
As many as we could get in there.
Could you give me an estimate how many that was?
It depends what time you're talking about the company. At the time, we were very few. When we first started the company, we weren't in the big room because we only had a handful of people. We were in the small office. As the company grew to about 30 to 60 people, we started populating the big room just because we had to at the time. So it was probably maybe 30 or 40 people in there when the company was about 100.
Each of those people having their own work location?
Absolutely.
A desk?
Yes. Everyone had a desk and a space for their chair to move around, basically.
And Dr. Zarnik, did he also have a desk in the big room?
Tony had two desks, actually.
Both in the big room?
Yes.
Right next to each other in proximity or different locations?
No, they were right next to each other.
Is it fair to say that you interacted with Dr. Zarnik on nearly a daily basis during the time that you reported to him?
Yeah, it's hard not to. The only concept of the big room was to foster communication.
Do you believe Dr. Zarnik was a good manager during the time you were supervised by him?
I think he was a good mentor. I don't think Tony had very good management skills, no.
In what way? Let's take good first, get to what you think is the bad. In what way do you think Dr. Zarnik was a good mentor?
Tony is a renowned expert in combinatorial chemistry. His background in organic chemistry, making drugs and things like this, I found him a tremendous scientific resource. We had many scientific discussions about science and the problems we had in the company and stuff. He was a good friend at that time also.
And what did he do, if anything, in an effort to mentor you as a scientist?
Used to discuss science on chemical terms. That's what our group was. We were the Department of Chemistry, so we approached life through that outlook.
Did Dr. Zarnik make himself available to you when you needed such mentoring?
Yes.
Now, you say you have some issues with his management style.
Absolutely.
What are those issues?
Well, for a company to succeed, a manager has got to be both technically competent and he's got to have some managerial skills also. The company was moving very, very fast at that time. And to be efficient, to use money wisely and doing the right experiments and getting projects off the ground, they have to be very directed, have to be well organized, planned out. Tony didn't approach the chemistry department that way. He had no strategic plan or vision of where we were going. It was more like an academic group, university group, where basic research was being done.
Did you ever complain to Dr. Zarnik about that?
No. It really wasn't my position to do that. It would be like calling your boss bad in front of his face. It's not the great way to win approval in the company.
How long has it been since you worked with Dr. Zarnik?
Well, since he was dismissed from the company, I guess. So when was that?
Back in September of 2000.
So since then?
Going on 2 years.
2 years now.
And who has been your boss for the last 2 years?
David Barker.
Dr. Barnard, did you consider leaving Illumina in 1999?
No, I didn't.
Never even considered leaving?
No. Illumina was like a dream for me. Sort of two huge facets of the technology came out of my PhD thesis, and was just a beautiful opportunity to see that to fruition, to turn into a product, to essentially move science along in the U.S. and the world. It's a great opportunity.
You don't recall talking to Dr. Stulpnagel about concerns you had with the company and the fact you were considering leaving the company?
No, I never had a conversation with John about that.
You were saying you weren't even thinking about that in your own mind?
No.
What were your duties in and responsibilities, if any, that related to decoding?
Depends on what time in the company you're talking about.
Let's talk about the summer of 2000, prior to the, and including the time of the roadshow.
So at that time, I had not taken over the responsibility of decoding at that time. The responsibility of decoding was under Mark Chi, who was the VP of genomics.
Did you have any responsibilities relating in any way to decoding?
Yes, in the production of the beads. That was supporting Dr. Changfeng Zhao in production of the beads.
So you and Changfeng Zhao worked on the production of the beads, which would be sent over to molecular biology?
Correct.
For decoding purposes?
Yes.
Do you know, Dr. Barnard, as of May of 2000, Dr. Zarnik was assigned some goals in 2000?
Yes, I was aware of that.
Do you know how many different codes Illumina could actually decode as of May of 2000?
If that's the same time Kevin Gundersen was doing what was now termed the 768 experiment, we were decoding hundreds of codes at that time.
A few hundred?
It varied, depending on the experiment.
What would be the range?
Anywhere from 200 to 700 codes, probably.
Did you do any work in terms of analyzing the results of the 768 decoding experiment?
No. The only time I analyzed the results was in a group meeting, but I didn't look at the raw data.
What group meeting are you referring to?
There's a group meeting when the team working on the decoding first presented results, decoding hundreds of things. That was referred to as the 768 experiment. There was quite a long meeting just because of the sort of presentation. People were excited about that level we attained at that time.
When was that meeting?
I can't recollect.
No idea at all.
It's been 4 years.
So, Dr. Barnard, at some point after Illumina went public, was responsibility for decoding transferred from Mark Chi to you?
Yes.
When did that happen?
That happened in conjunction with the collaboration we have with Applied Biosystems. It was critical at that time with where we reached a milestone where we had to present publicly to Applied Biosystems the state of decoding. That state, the goal, was to decode over 1,000 things consistently. We had the milestone and the requirements of what we had achieved written down and documented. So there was quite a bit of pressure to reach that goal.
The goal was actually to decode 2,000 beads, right?
No, it wasn't.
You sure about that?
Absolutely.
In any event, my question, sir, was when did you take over responsibility for decoding?
It was probably 9 months after that, in that time frame.
That would put it approximately when?
Do we have a calendar, Nikki, that lists these dates? Tony was dismissed when?
September of 2000.
2000. So it probably happened in, probably in that year, 2000. The decoding was transitioning over to me.
Let's take a look, please, at Exhibit 355. You recognize Exhibit 355?
Yeah, these are the typical goal charts that the company started to use after Jay Flatley came onto the company.
Does this exhibit set forth the 2001 chemistry group goals?
Yes, it does.
I've got a blow-up of this I'll use.
Counsel, is this a blow-up of the same exhibit?
Same thing. Dr. Barnard, what was Illumina's chemistry department goal in the area of decoding for fourth quarter 2000?
Your Honor, I think this may have been the subject of a chambers conference.
Absolutely not.
This has to do with generalized scientific methodology?
No, we talked about the relevance or irrelevance of goals vis-a-vis
this is not a specific issue relating to the subject matter we've been discussing for days. It's the chemistry group goals, not the corporate goals.
Better see you outside the presence of the jury.
Please.
You may continue your examination.
Dr. Barnard, you testified you thought that the 768 decode experiment that Illumina was able to actually decode. Give me a range. The upside of that range was approximately 700 codes?
Yes.
And it was actual decoding?
It's the only kind there is, I think.
Now, what was the chemistry department goals? Strike that. First of all, this 2001 chemistry goal, Exhibit 355, is dated September 14th, 2001. I believe that's the print date. Let me direct your attention to the chemistry group's goal for the fourth quarter of 2000. What was the chemistry group's goal in terms of the number of beads to be decoded during fourth quarter 2000?
So it depends on what project you're talking about, whether it's gene typing or gene expression.
Where is that set forth in this chart, if at all?
It's implied in line number 8, test decoding method to achieve 2,000 and 100,000 codes. So as we see, as the year marches on, we scale up. We start at 500 codes, we go to 1,000, and we go to 2,000. But that's for a specific product we're trying to develop, and that's in relation to the Applied Biosystems collaboration. So that product is called genotyping product. The 100,000 codes in Q4 was for a research project for gene expression, so a totally different project.
What was the fourth quarter goal?
The fourth quarter goal of 2000 by this chart is 100,000 goals for gene expression, line 8.
Fourth quarter 2000.
No, excuse me, it's 500.
So the goal for fourth quarter 2000 was 500 codes?
Correct.
And that was after Dr. Zarnik had been fired.
Your point being?
My point being I would like a yes or no answer.
You can ask the witness that. Doesn't the record already show when he was fired?
It does. Nothing further.